Recovery On Air, the official podcast of Crossroads Addiction Rehabilitation. Candid discussion about addiction and recovery with the people who have lived it, along with input from experts on the journey from struggle to triumph. Laugh, cry, and be inspired. And now, your host for Recovery On Air, Donna Alexander.
Welcome to Recovery On Air, the show in which we work to break the stigma of addiction by talking about it. I am your host, Donna Alexander.
And I'm your co-host, Kimberly Harden.
And today in the studio, we are welcoming in Diana Peterson, formerly known as King, when I knew her originally. She is an alumni from Crossroads Flower, one of my very first pre-trial clients. Oh my gosh. And she's got a story. So she just celebrated 12 years of recovery.
I did.
I actually got to give her a chip. It was pretty amazing.
Yes, it was.
And
thank you.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Oh my gosh. Yeah, last name.
Right. The last
name. I'm still laughing at that. Because, you know, at Crossroads, it's like, Diana King, you're so in trouble. What's up, Diana King? You know, and I'm like,
oh, that sounds like Marilyn.
Is that ever good? Yes, it does. Oh my gosh. I was so a princess. I'm still a princess.
Yes. Yes, you are one of my biggest princesses. So let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about your story and how you even came to Crossroads and what that looked like for you. Because that was a whole set of paperwork. Literally.
Wow. And so first of all, here's the nice thing about when you're going through a divorce or have gone through a divorce and haven't changed your name. Everything you've done is associated with that last name. And you can change it. It's so wonderful. Okay, enough about that. God, you know what? I actually wanted to go somewhere where I can smoke cigarettes.
Oh, that's how you ended up at Crossroads?
Not by choice. But
right.
It was either go... Where was I? I went to a treatment center for...
Yes.
What was it, Guiding Star?
Yes.
Yep, Guiding Star. And from there, it was like, we need to transition you into somewhere else. And I'm like, no, I'm just now getting used to it after like 4 or 5 months of a 30-day program.
Yes.
Well, can I smoke there too? Because at Guiding Star, you were only allowed to have 4 cigarettes a day, which
was
hard. And I got in trouble many times.
Wait, this is my shock face.
You're not shocked.
No, not at all.
No. You know, and that's a whole other story in itself, all the bad stuff I did and why I probably stayed there for as long as I did. I needed that.
Yes.
And then it was, I cannot remember what the other place was. It was one other place or Crossroads, and it turned out to be Crossroads where I was going. I just can't remember what the other one was.
I can't either because I don't...
Was there something Southwest?
There's Southwest Behavioral, but I don't know that they had residential places then.
Maybe I needed that or... God. No, well, I needed Crossroads. I needed Crossroads.
Yes.
It was humbling and I hated riding the bus. I hated the jobs that I had. I hated my chores.
Yes. But you did them most of the time. With a little persuasion, shall we say.
I hated that you were such a morning person. And not me. Your bed isn't made. Yes, it is.
Because I never unmade it because I slept on top of the covers is really what it was all about.
I used to do that in chewing.
Did you do it too?
Yep.
All right. I won't embarrass myself anymore. But you know what? It's the point. It's the point of what it's like within that first year. And I say my first year because my first several months of recovery or flat out being clean was just trying to do what I am told with the feds over me.
Yes.
And that was scary.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie, it was scary, but today I'm grateful.
I remember you bringing me your paperwork when it said the United States of America
oh
versus, And you were like,
Diana King.
Oh my gosh, this just became real. Because there it was in black and white.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and a lot of people can say, oh, that's nothing. No, you know what? It's bigger than you think when you're actually looking it on paper.
Yes.
There's nowhere you can go.
Right.
I mean, did the thought cross my mind to run? Yeah, it did. Of course it did. But it never fled into a fruition of thought. Like, it wasn't like, this is how I'm going to do it. And this is how, you know, this is how it's going to play out. But my sentence carried a max of 20 years.
Yes.
So if I run, I'm probably going to get that max.
Right. Plus, you did see some people who chose that road.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't pretty. You also saw some people who stayed and didn't do what they were supposed to do and what happened to them.
Yeah. Actually, I saw people who were even at Guiding Star under federal pretrial and walked right out the gate because that's how it worked there. You can walk out, but you will not be able to come back in.
Exactly.
And, you know, having a mentality in full-blown addiction and then facing something like that, knowing that that door is open, you're not locked in there.
Right.
You're just not able to return. That was, that was...
So tell us a little bit about your disease and how you ended up getting into a place where you landed on federal pretrial.
Well, addiction started for me when I was 20.
Wow. That's kind of old.
Right. Late bloomer.
Right? Yeah, very much. Tried meth before weed and cigarettes.
Wow.
Dove right in. And I loved it. Loved it. And want to say I tried controlling it. You know, it's usually like 6 months until things really start to go downhill. Well, based on what people were telling me, 6 months of consistent use, you're going straight downhill. And then I would hear stories of people who used for like a week and went straight downhill. I'm like, dang, that was fast. All right.
Yep.
So it took about 6 months of using back in 2002. I actually remember the date, April 9th, 2002. Did my first line with a girl that I used to work with who looked really hot and pretty, and I was going through this phase with my ex-husband where I had a baby and I was like, he doesn't think I look good anymore. And even though I look back at pictures, I'm like, girl, there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
But what it was is just that whole mental exhaustion. I got pregnant at 18, you know, was going to go into the military and ended up moving from San Diego to North Carolina. Then back to San Diego, and I was just a mess. I was a mess before I used, and it's almost like doing it for the first time made me feel like I wasn't a mess.
Oh, wow.
I loved it. Not gonna lie, I loved it. I hated it toward the end, but...
Right.
I loved it. So, you know, in that first 6 months, I ended up going from putting my what I thought was my family first because I had the time and energy to do it. So I'm like, yeah, I'm putting my family first because I've got time and energy, right? And then it just kind of turned into I can leave at night because my husband falls asleep quick and stays asleep and my daughter is the best night sleeper ever.
Wow.
And so I would leave at night, come back right before I knew his alarm would go off and act like I fell asleep on the couch watching TV.
Wow. So you were using, he didn't know, you were hiding it.
I was hiding it from everybody.
Except for who were you using with? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those people.
Those people.
Us people.
Oh, yeah. I didn't get... Well, back in 2002, I don't think a lot of people knew what it was. Even when I found out what this girl was doing, I was like, what is crystal meth? Like, freaking totally naive. And she goes, shh, because we were in a club, right?
Right.
I'm like, girl, what are you doing? Crystal meth. What is crystal meth? I was such... Oh my God. I remember that so vividly. So my first time getting in trouble, though, was at that 6 month mark. So October of 2002, I disappeared from my house for three or four days, but I had taken my daughter to my mom's and was like, do not give her to her dad. Do not tell him. Do not tell him that you've seen me. Blah, 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 blah. Right. And she's like, oh my God, what's going on? And you know what? We were both abusive to each other.
Yep.
In my addiction. And in my addiction, I'm going to say this. This, it allowed me to fight back.
Yep.
Like, I had no, my pain tolerance was high. You think you're hurting me? I'm going to laugh at you and hurt you even more. So it was just toxic. And I remember just disappearing for 3 or 4 days, and even a cop called my phone and was like, I know you're, it was a lady cop, and she's like, I know that you're okay. We just want to know where you are. And I'm like, why are the cops? So found out my mom is the one that called the cop. So then I go to my mom's on like day four, and then my ex shows up and we beat each other up right there in my mom's house, and the cops show up. They can tell that I'm loaded. Nobody else knew, but they could tell. And there was a scratch mark on his arm, so I got arrested for domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first time ever being arrested, was for domestic violence. And in California, that's a felony.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They don't play.
Yep.
But when I got in the cop car, they said, are you high? That was the first thing they said. But they're arresting me for domestic violence, and they're asking me if I'm high. And I said yes. I didn't lie to the cops. And they were trying. I remember they were trying to educate me about it. They said your pulse and heart rate is like if you've been running a marathon for 24 hours. Like, well, yeah, I kind of have been.
Right.
I was about 114 pounds.
Wow.
And I'm a pretty curvy girl. If yes. I get below 130, I look really sick. If I'm above, if I'm below 150, I look sick. So I was 114 pounds when I had gotten arrested. So reference probably a size 2. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
me. You yeah. know me. Do you
yes.
see me like that?
No, I don't see that. Plus, you had baby weight. If the baby, so you, you so, got rid so of all of that all and
the baby
everything.
Weight. All the baby weight. But you know what? I actually weighed myself because I was like, the girl who I got it from had dropped some weight. My starting weight was 132.
Oh.
So
you were already down.
Yeah, I looked fine. I mean, I'm 20 years old, 5'7", 132 pounds. I'm not overweight.
Right.
What am I thinking?
What are you listening to?
Do you think you had self-esteem issues like throughout your life prior to addiction? No.
Nope. Nope. Okay. Not going to lie. Nope.
So domestic violence, domestic abuse, verbal abuse, maybe
verbal and physical.
Switch that around for you a little bit.
It became it got physical when I started using.
Because you started using your voice.
Voice
and your hands.
Yeah, heck yeah.
So you started fighting back because you had that don't care attitude.
Yep.
Okay, so now you're in this battle. So your daughter's born.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along the line, you got back with him?
I stayed with him because I've told myself it was all my fault.
Of course you did.
Yes.
Because that's what we do.
Right. So he now has complete financial control.
Mm. Okay.
Because I was bad.
And so now you're not using anymore right now at this point because
after,
you don't have any money.
After October 2, I was not using for a little while.
Okay. And then, so how did it start back up again?
Okay, so I got pregnant with my second a few months after that. So I stopped in October of 2002. They found all the paraphernalia in my car. Thank God it was not the police, though. Because right. I didn't have any paraphernalia on me. I'm not going into my mom. I'm not dumb. I'm not going into my mom's paraphernalia.
Right.
But in my car, it was all there. So, you know, that's how that came to light. If they never found it, I never would have admitted to it.
Right.
Except for police.
Right.
Yes, I'm limited.
Because they knew.
They right. knew. Yeah, they're not dumb. So I get pregnant again and, you know, actually, no, I picked up drinking and I picked up smoking after meth.
Yep.
I had my first
cigarette. Because that was socially acceptable and he probably was okay with that.
Yeah, he smoked.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got in an argument and I was like, let me have some of that cigarette. And he's like, we're fighting. And then he goes to teach me how to smoke a cigarette.
Wow.
And we bonded. It was great. Right. Yeah, that was great. And you know what? We had several months of being great, I guess. I mean, I became more submissive.
Yep.
He wasn't like completely bad either. We were young. We were yep. young. And I think I was young and I wanted to join the military and my entire plan changed. I wanted to go to college. He wasn't supportive of that. He was supportive of me being a stripper though. There, I'll let that out.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. To make some extra money, huh?
Yeah, in California, if you can make that extra money, you're living pretty darn good.
Wow. So you did do the stripping then?
Yeah.
Yep.
I did.
After?
Before and after.
After AJ and before AJ, after your daughter too?
After my daughter, yes. After I had my son, no, I had grown out of it. I think I tried it one more time. It was like, I can't do this. I'm not. Like, something had changed. I had no desire. I tried and no desire. So financially, we were struggling. And after he was born, you know, after my son was born, we were just separating again. My ex and I, we weren't, I don't know. Maybe it was me too. Maybe I separated from him. I don't know. But that's when things got really bad, though. Like, we cheated on each other.
Right.
You know, flat out. We cheated on each other. I ended up, he was managing an auto shop. And they were like, dude, he looks at you as your trophy wife. And I was like, oh, really? Well, here, let's do this. You know, I found out through his employees he was cheating. So I got him back pretty damn good and went back to using because the one particular guy was also into it. And I went full blown into using again. And that would have been 2005. Yeah, so 2002 to 2005. Was that gap, but I thought about it all the time.
Yep.
And so, all the time.
So you're getting high then again in 2005.
Yep.
And then what happens with him?
I felt bad because I was using again. So it was all my fault.
Yep.
And then we stayed and I can remember that time was when I first experienced the psychosis even. My first psychosis. So I even went to my dad's and he knew what was going on, but you know, he wanted to help. But I thought, dude, I thought this is so embarrassing. Maybe somebody can relate. I thought his smoke detectors were freaking cameras and.
That is so common.
Yeah, a lot of people can relate with
so
that.
So embarrassed. Yes. I walked. It was like 2 a.m. and I just could not sleep. I kept staring at all the stuff he had in his house and ended up walking out.
Yes.
And then I see like a headphone set on the sidewalk down the road. And I'm like, oh my God, they were listening.
Yep.
But like, I was laying in bed the whole time and my thoughts were the ones going.
Yep.
So like, it was just weird. And by the next day, you know, I ended up going back in his house and he was just like, Diana, I don't know how to help you. I'm like, I don't know. I couldn't like get the words out. And the very next day, my ex shows up and he was like, I don't know how to help her. And, you know, he was, I mean, at this point, I know looking back, I was in full blown psychosis because it's been a couple of days since I put anything up my nose. Right. But that feeling was just not going away. Like those voices would not stop. And I can remember my dad trying to show me directions to something that he was giving to my husband at the time. But it didn't register. He was giving my husband directions to Scripps Mental Hospital. And I was admitted.
Yeah.
And I kind of remember my dad showing me. It was kind of like, get it together. Or you're going to go here. Well, yeah, I went there and it was awful. And had the booty juice.
Yeah.
I think that normalized me for a little bit, but I was there for at least a week. And then 06, we moved out here. But prior to that, my husband and I got into more fights. Even with me being clean, but I always looked back at it as it was all my fault. I went to my first meeting in 05 after I got out of the mental hospital. My dad put me into a sober living in La Mesa, and it was a house with a bunch of girls. I wish I could remember what it was called because it was amazing. But I think I lasted 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go home. And then about a month after that is when I went back to using again.
Okay.
After I went back to using, my husband took the job transfer here to Arizona. And it was great because it was like, this is a way to stop. Well, the people across the street from my mom's really nice neighborhood were also using.
Yes.
And we've got that radar.
Yes, we do.
We've got that radar. But, you know, even to this day, if I'm in San Diego, I go back to that first meeting I went to because I remembered where it was. I can't remember what it's called, but it was a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and it was in Pacific Beach, and it was right above a daycare. So you couldn't clap. You had to snap your fingers, which is kind of cool. I thought it was weird at the time, but no, it's kind of cool. I see it. I see why they do that. It's like, this is stupid. What are we doing? I think I still have my first NA book, even after all this time, because I found phone numbers. I just found that book not too long ago, and it had phone numbers from that time period, and they don't work anymore, but I tried calling.
Nice.
They don't work anymore. Because it would be kind of cool to come across some of the people.
Yes.
Even though it was a 2.5 week time, that book stayed with me. It managed to survive my addiction. Even though I never read it, never opened it.
But it's that mustard seed.
Yeah,
and that's what we really work at doing at Crossroads. I know Jorge, our chef, always says that when they come in, even if they don't get it the first time, the next time they're out on the streets and they don't have anything to eat and they have nowhere to sleep, then they might think, hey, you know what? I remember that place, Crossroads.
Yeah,
and they tried to help me and they come back. And if there's anybody out there that's listening that needs some help, go to our website, thecrossroadsinc.org, or give us a call at 602-263-5242. Because if you need help, we're going to find a way. Crossroads, will find a way to help you. And we are in the studio today with Diana Peterson. Yep. She's sharing her story with us. So now we're to the place where somewhere along the line you separate from your husband and he has the kids and you do not.
Yes. So in 2006, I filed for divorce.
Yeah.
I knew that the people across the street from my mom used. And even though I wasn't like using that mental thought of knowing that it's there and it's so easy, was just consuming. And you know, my husband and I, we got in a fight that morning, and it had a lot to do with like his brother. His brother was living with us and his girlfriend was living with us, and nobody wanted to help watch the kids. I was working for an optometrist, and he hit me for the last time.
Yep.
And I filed for divorce. So 3 months later, after moving out here, and I had the kids. And I got to the point where it's like, you know what? I could start using the way I want. And it wasn't daily. It was great, but not for very long. Mm-hmm. It never lasts. You think it will. It won't. Trust me. I tried controlling it for 8 years.
Yep.
But because my family knows what the signs are now, because they've experienced it in the past, they knew that I was using, and my mom sided with my ex-husband and kind of ganged up on me and was like, we're going to take the kids from you.
So now you're the victim.
Now I'm the victim. How dare you? How dare you, Mom? Well, all I had to do was prove that I was clean.
Yep.
And I couldn't.
Yep.
I couldn't. You know what, you guys? I've passed a hair test once. Once. And when you pass something once, you think you could do it again?
Yep.
No. That right. came back with a vengeance. And my kids were gone. He took them to North Carolina, and I went 5 years without seeing them.
Yep. I remember that.
So I had about 2 years clean the first time I saw my kids.
Yes.
And I wish it was sooner than that. And it sucks. This is where it gets super emotional. You know, it just sucks. It sucks because I still kick myself in the butt even to this day.
I know.
I could not stop for them. And that's the reality. It's like that for everybody. Anybody who says that they can stop for their kids, you're wrong. Give it yeah. time.
Yeah.
You have yeah. to stop for you. You have. That's the only way. But I had the ability to go out there and visit them, and I visited them once. It was for my daughter's 8th birthday. And I told myself, my now husband, he used to use with me, and we're married now. That's a whole other story that if we have time, I'll get to. But we went out to North Carolina together to go and visit my kids. And I said, I am not going to bring any drugs. I want to do this clean. I lasted maybe 2 days until I went looking for the nastiest part of town, looking for meth was my drug of choice, and I had to settle for crack. Didn't know how to use it, hated it, and I was like, this is stupid, and probably gave it away or threw it away, and I was just, I could not stay awake to visit my kids.
Yep.
And that was that's still one of the most awful feelings that I'm living with, was that one freaking visit. You don't show up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
When you're there visiting, what are you doing?
Yep.
I couldn't stay awake.
Yep.
And I couldn't wait to get home to use. And yep. and you know what? I admit that. I admit it. And it sucks because I wanted to be with my kids at the same time. That desire was there. That desire to use probably was just as, I'm going to say it's just as powerful. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why both desires are equal. when you have the desire to be with your kids and things don't go your way, that's what makes it hard. Because for me, I was dealing with my ex at the same time. I'm dealing with my mom. I'm dealing with my past of addiction. I'm dealing with my new current addiction. But the desire was there to be with them. The desire to use was just as strong.
Because that's what you're used to. Coping mechanism, if you will.
Yeah, I don't like the feeling of sleeping all day.
Right.
And it took a lot of time. It took a lot of time to get that out of my system.
So after you go and visit them at that time, then you come back and you continue to use.
Oh, yeah. Then I'm now full-blown, everyone's typical wake up, if you have slept, use, go to the casino, go home, use again. Now, I was also into photography, so this is what got me in trouble. So my kids aren't with me. I'm in full-blown addiction where there's no certain days I don't use or whatever. I'm in full-blown. I wake up, I'm using. That's what it right. is. I don't have groceries in my house except for bacon and chocolate milk.
Right.
Right. But I'm into photography, and I took photos of my husband's dealer. He's my husband now, okay? I don't know if I want to say his name. You might get him here, though.
I might.
I'm just going to refer to him. Corey. All right. My husband's name is Corey. We used to use together. So I take a photo of his dealer. His dealer had this awesome dog, like big, big dog, right? And I took a photo of them, but he had a cigarette in his mouth, and I was like, oh, God, that's making it not look good. So I Photoshop the cigarette out of his mouth, do a print, give it to him as a gift, and he's like, wow, this is beautiful. What did you do? Oh, that's Photoshop.
Yep.
Crazy times.
Yep.
Crazy times. But, you know, I got into a lot of trouble after that day. It had something to do with counterfeit money. And you know what? It was, what can you pass and turn into, like, tangible real cash just to get more dope? Just to then go to the casino, just to then repeat the cycle over and over and over again. And that was, it was a cycle that lasted for a long time, almost a year. And I look back now and be like, you know what? That was the most prison I experienced.
Yep.
Because it's literally a prison. There was no way out. There was no way out of that cycle. When you're that deep, how do you stop?
Right.
So Corey had gotten arrested, and I got even worse after he got arrested. And then I can remember I was down in Tucson on the night of January 7th, January 8th, and picked up this big, large amount of dope and went to go and try and pass a fake counterfeit bill at 4 a.m. at Walmart and got arrested.
Yep.
So I never actually got arrested for drugs. Battery is on my record, and which is a misdemeanor, and then uttering security obligations. Yes, that is what my charge was. Federal. I was arrested, and I didn't talk. I used my Miranda rights and must have pissed somebody off, because I remember being in the county. It looked like a little pit somewhere in Tucson. And so this lawyer was like, yeah, the state's dropping the charge. I'm like, cool, I get to leave. Thank God. And time was going by, and time kept going by, and time kept going by. And I'm like, when am I out of here? No, the feds are picking it up.
I'm like, holy shit.
And it did, I don't think it registered right away. I just wanted a cigarette at that time. I was like, God, I just need a cigarette. So I don't remember how long it took for the feds to start talking to me, but they treated me pretty nice. They fed me a sandwich, put me in a nice, or they put me in a nice van, fed me a sandwich, asked if there was anything I needed, and details are a little blurred because I just remember them being nice to me and then me being put into CCA, which is similar to a holding on a federal level.
Yes.
And then I think I was there for about three weeks to a month before my attorney met with me and was like, he saw me and was like, you look sick. I'm like thinking to myself, dude, it's been like well over a month since I've used. How does he know this? Asked me if I had, you know, what's going on. He's like, there's a place that you can go for help instead of being here, which was Guiding Star.
Yep.
He said, I have to go willingly and by choice. Yep. So they brought a lady in to interview me. And anybody that ever, if you're in active addiction right now, or if you've been there and can relate, please listen to this. The lady had asked me how long it's been since I've used. I told her 3 months. You don't have to lie to them.
Right?
They know. They know. And they just want to help. But I stuck to that. I was like, it's been like 3 months since I've used. I just wanted to lie about it. I didn't want to admit it. I started using a little bit of the pity party of I don't have my kids with me anymore. What do I have to live for? Blah, 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 blah. And I was accepted into Guiding Star. Was a pain in the butt.
I can imagine. Just saying.
I only wanted a female therapist. Well, she wasn't available, and so I had a male therapist. And I'm going to say he gave me my first little glimpse of hope. So my therapist was also in active addiction in a long period of time prior to him being my therapist. I mean, shut up, alcohol, right?
Right.
But he served prison time. And here he is now a therapist. And I'm like, maybe my life isn't over. Because I thought my life was going to be over. But he, you know, he did prison time and was now a successful therapist. And then I can remember, I mean, yeah, it was great being in there, looking back. I hated it at the time. But by the time it was time for me to leave, I actually didn't want to go.
Right.
You know, Guiding Star uses a lot of Native American tradition. And, you know, I was the kind of girl that stole the tobacco so I could smoke it. To then leaving with a ritual.
Yes.
Like a genuine Native American tradition ritual from a sweat lodge. And it was a beautiful experience. I can't say when exactly it changed, but if I wasn't there, there wouldn't have been a change for me.
Right.
You know, I never lasted. So then I move on. I think it was my pre-trial officer who's like, it's time for you to move on, Diana. Like, do I get to go home? No, I wanted to go home because, yeah, I wanted to still use, but there was a spiritual journey happening and I accepted the transfer to Crossroads for Women. Found out I had a warrant for my arrest. I don't know if you remember
right.
that.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
I had a warrant for my arrest because I had cashed a stolen check.
Yep.
In active addiction.
Yep.
What a test that was. Man, that was scary. Do you know?
That was Tucson too, wasn't it?
It was.
Yep.
It was. My bail was $250,000.
That's right.
Over a $400 stolen check.
Yep.
Just a system for you, but you know, talk about a test of time going through that. You know, the cop, even the cop that had arrested me, I don't know, I think he told me what my bail was going to be. I don't know if maybe that's a fake memory or if they actually have that information, but I feel like they do because I remember just being like, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this lady who was just tore back looking. And she pulls out crack from her mouth, okay, because she hit it in her teeth. Anybody want some?
Oh, my God.
I was like, maybe a sliver of me thought about it, but for the most part, I was like, look, I was a pretty user, okay?
Or so you thought.
Or so I thought. Anyway. So talk about a test of patience and recovery that put me through because I thought I was just done. I've already got the feds on me, but I was transported down to Bisbee.
Oh, that's right.
Look, you know what? If you're going to go to jail, go to Bisbee. Way better food, way better staff. I was so mad. And the guy that was walking me in, he had this like cute little Mexican accent. And he goes, I'm not going to give you your bedding until you smile. Are you kidding me? I'll get you an extra bag of chips if you smile. All right, cool. But no, they do have good food there. Crossroads is better. Crossroads is your ideal spot to be. But I went to my court hearing and my attorney said she is under a federal pretrial, so they basically put those cases together. I don't know if I got lucky. I think I did because they consolidated that case into one and put it under federal, which turned out to be a blessing because that ended up dropping down to a misdemeanor.
Right.
My public defender literally cared. He cared. And he did a really good job. And I'm going to say he was my cheerleader. You know, I called him not too long ago, and I called him when I had 10 years, and I told him, I don't know if you remember me, but you saved my life. Well, I'm celebrating 10 years clean.
That's amazing.
And now I have 12. So yeah, he's still in the phone, you know, Google phone book, whatever. How he's not hard to find, my public defender. And that was beautiful to share that with him. But, did he ever visit me at Crossroads? I can't remember. Or it could have been my. It could have. No, I had to go down there. I remember I had to go down there. Oh God! But yeah, staying at Crossroads now. I knew if I get in trouble, I thought if anything I got in trouble over would put me away for 20 years, and I tried being sneaky on a few things, but Donna, you are hard to. you're a bit rough.
Can't get nothing by her.
You're a bit rough to get anything by.
It's because I've already done it. Right. You know? I already tried it. I already
knew. God, you know
what?
Wrote
the rule book.
I was there for like at least a year until you said, get out!
I didn't say it quite like that.
Nope, you gotta go. And I'm like, wait! What am I gonna tell my probation officer?
They already know. So let's do this, Diana, because we're getting close to the end of our time. And there is a part of your story that I want to touch on because the whole object of this podcast is to give hope and to let people understand that no matter what happens in our life, you can stay clean. So you know what I'm talking about.
I lived in the mess now just for the past however long we've been doing this, but You know, the foundation that I had with Federal and Crossroads and you, like anybody who comes across you, Donna, is they're going to be blessed, even if we get yelled at by you.
Thank you.
I she loves us.
It all makes sense someday. But it was a foundation. Because, you know, what ultimately ended up happening is when I had 2 years, I got to see my children. And then they moved out to Arizona. And my daughter chose to live with me. And my son wanted to stay with Dad. But, you know, we would still visit all the time. He'd come over whenever he wanted. But, you know, something was happening with him. And in 2017, he took his own life.
How old was he?
He was 13. And it's so painful to think about, especially at just his five-year anniversary just passed.
Yeah.
And it's hard because I have this tendency to blame myself, which is, you know, I talked about that. I stayed because I was using. And part of me is like, I am a result of, he is a result of my addiction. Him taking his life is a result of my addiction. I had 7 years clean at the time. And I'm still wanting to say that that choice is a result of my addiction. And I still struggle with that.
Right. And I know that that's going to be a struggle for you forever.
Yeah.
I believe that we make our own choices. You made your choice. And it's an unfortunate thing that AJ did too.
He was... He was the kind of kid that was extreme.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember seeing him a couple times.
I guess. I absolutely remember. You know, one of the things I remember too is what you did with your recovery journey during that time. I remember you called me, or maybe I called you. One of us reached out to the other. And I remember you coming and saying, sitting down in a chair, and saying, I feel safe here. Is it okay if I just sit? And you did that for a few days. And we did our thing.
Was this after? Because I kind of remember that. I just don't remember the timeline. Was that after AJ?
That was after AJ. Yes.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Yep. And then, you know,
everybody around me was doing something. My mother is pretty devout Mormon.
Right.
She drank wine.
Yep.
Everybody, you know what? Everybody, including my ex, picked up weed.
Yep.
Except me and Corey.
Yep.
So it's hard seeing everybody around you put some kind of substance in them during this whole planning of his celebration of life and funeral. God, as a parent, that's so fucking hard to, you're not supposed to lose your child.
Right.
It's hard though, looking at I literally feel like I'm in a movie. Everybody around me is stuffing themselves with substances, but not me. And it pissed me off.
Yep.
And I still get pissed. So the point is that you're going in recovery, no matter how long you manage to stay clean and sober, you're going to experience hard times in life and seeing everybody around you do exactly what you wish you could be doing.
Life still happens on life's
still
terms.
Happens, yep.
Yeah. You know, but I was so incredibly moved by how you handled the whole situation, is that you knew to go where you were safe and where your one of your safety places started, which was back to Crossroads, and to just sit there for a few days. And there was many times you didn't say anything. You just watched what was going on around you. And you just hung out. And I...
You know what, Donna? I got to comment on that before I lose train of thought. Because you know what? I'm sitting watching everybody, my Mormon mother, drink. My ex-husband, who hates drugs, start smoking weed and popping Percocets. My daughter is starting to explore stuff. And everybody around me is doing it. And I know damn well I can't.
Well, but you can.
Yes,
you
I
chose,
can.
You chose in your recovery journey to not do it. And that's what I'm talking about. Because you could have. And you know what? If you'd have told me that you did during that kind of thing, like I'd have just held your hand. I'd have just held your hand. I'm a mom too. And I don't
blame the people who relapse over it.
Right.
It's hard. But that's why I say I can't.
Right.
I know I can't.
You choose not to.
I can't. You could call it a choice. I can't.
And you didn't.
And I haven't.
Yeah.
Telling you, it's Crown Royal has looked delicious.
Yes.
It has, and you know, I don't even know what that tastes like.
I do.
Is it similar to Southern
Comfort? It's so delicious.
Freaking birds. No, I was cleaning my aunt's condo because she has an Airbnb out here, investment Airbnb, and she lives up in Washington. And she's like, I have a niece in Arizona. Hey, do you want to make some extra money? I'm like, yeah, sure. Could you clean the condo? I'm like, great. Yeah, no problem. It's stocked.
Yep.
And you know how many times I had to call Corey?
Yep.
And that phone, I'm telling you, that phone is heavy. That phone is heavy to make a call to somebody. You know, I called my best friend on my way here and was like, I don't have anything to talk about. Why am I doing this? I called Corey on my way here and God, that phone is heavy.
But look at, you've done a great job. You've had a lot to talk about. And you know, we're grateful that you came here to share your story with us and our listeners. You've been through a lot.
So staying clean, I've managed to put together 12 years. Is it perfect? Only say yes because I haven't picked up no matter what. Has my... I used to call it a recovery resume. Has my recovery resume been updated recently? This year, I decided to take a step back from service work and focus on me. And I feel a little selfish for that, but I have heard people share to take time for you.
100%.
Because I was just focused on service work from... I don't even think I had 2 years clean yet.
Yep, exactly.
When I started.
Conventions, this, that.
So I'm very much a part of the regional convention for Narcotics Anonymous in Arizona, doing arts and graphics. And I stopped the year that AJ passed. Stuck with it during COVID. And then this year, I need a break. I think I overworked myself for the past 10 years.
Yep.
But it's a blessing. It's a blessing to give back in a way that you know how. You know, when you do service work, do something that you know how to do. It's rewarding and it's a form of contributing. And it helps your self-esteem.
Right.
But I'm now at a point where I need to do some focus on myself. I've created my own business. Arizona Flying Dress. It's photography. One of my first loves is photography, and I never put that down.
What's that website?
ArizonaFlyingDress.com.
And they should go check that out. You guys can hire her. She does all kinds of things. Hair, makeup, hair, photo. Hair, makeup,
photography.
It's amazing. You got to see these dresses.
But matter of fact, I don't know if you want to go over this, but I know we're going to do something for those who are new in recovery. We're talking about May. And I really want to be of service with that. I want to help with the women with hair and makeup. Photos. I love taking pictures, and you know, it's nice to have that and look back at that, you know.
Yes.
Just doing something. And I think May is a great time because it's around Mother's Day.
Exactly.
And, you know, maybe somebody will be a week clean when I go there. So, you know, pray for them to make it, in May, who's ever going to be there, you know?
Right. And we're going to work on putting that together.
Yeah.
Carrie Bradley's going to help with that too.
Yep.
From Identifree.
So I'm doing a purge in my house right now, getting rid of a bunch of stuff, and donated some comforters to her. And I'm going to go through my wardrobe and also donate wardrobe to her also, and whatever she'll take, right?
Right.
But I just saw her and we were talking about it and we mentioned you and we're going to put it together.
It's going to be an amazing thing for the women.
It's literally right by my house.
Yes, it is.
So it is. If anybody has any goods to donate, please look into donating to Identifree.
And she will be our podcast guest in 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. I love her.
We already had her as a guest. She's going to be released. So we already did it. And it's really going to be a great show, too. So for you, thank you so much for being here today and being so raw with us and being so open about your recovery journey. This is the kind of show that's what we want to do is, and we want to show people that there's hope, and there's hope after you start your recovery journey. Things can happen, but you can still stay sober. And you're one of those people. I commend you for your strength, for your transparency.
Thank you.
And for coming on the show and being real and raw with us, Diana.
Thank you so much.
I love you too. Thank you, Kimberly.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Okay, so we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Recovery On Air, the official podcast of Crossroads Addiction Rehabilitation with your host, Donna Alexander. Join us next time as we continue our candid discussions about addiction and recovery. Listen 24/7 anytime to this or any of our shows online at starworldwidenetworks.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.